Chapter 6, A Person of Influence Enlarges People. Over the years, my wife Nancy and I have learned a lot from our son Eric. He's been through more than 30 individual brain operations, but that's never stopped him from being mentally sharp and full of optimism. And his great sense of humor keeps us all entertained. During one of his many surgeries, Eric experienced an intraoperative stroke. The resulting loss of muscle balance has limited the use of his right hand and given him severe curvature of the spine. After a couple of years, that required another surgery in which the doctors performed spinal fusion and implanted steel rods from the base of his neck all the way down to his pelvis. He spent 3 months in a full body cast during his recovery, and as a result, many of his previous abilities were reduced dramatically. But Eric came through it all with characteristically positive spirits. After Eric's spinal surgery, Nancy could no longer handle him alone, so we decided it was time to employ a full-time home attendant to lift him and help with his daily life and assist him with his ongoing rehabilitation. We knew the type of person we wanted to hire, but we had no idea where or how to locate him. One day, while Nancy was talking to one of our medical contacts, she heard about a person named Fernando. He sounded great. "He's the perfect person," our friend said, "but you'll never get him." Nancy's response was, "Just give us his number and let us worry about whether or not we can get him." A few weeks later, we hired Fernando, and he's been wonderful. Fernando had been a life skills trainer for Sharp Hospital, and though he was only 5 years older than Eric, he had already been a manager of a group home for abused kids and had worked in a field of rehabilitation for 7 years. He and Eric bonded immediately. Fernando provided the perfect combination of professional skills and companionship. It's difficult to describe what a wonderful gift God has provided to Eric and our family in the person of Fernando. He sees his mission as that of enlarging Eric, to keep him growing toward his full potential. Fernando constantly learns new information and techniques in his field, and he seeks ways to expose Eric to new experiences and to challenge him to grow. As a result, Eric's life hasn't been the same. In the time that the two of them have been doing things together, Eric has done a lot more than go skiing every year. He's learned to jet ski. I never could have visualized Eric going 40 miles an hour over the water, but Fernando believed Eric could do it, and so he did it. Eric also volunteers as a tutor with second graders, studies German, works in our office 2 days a week, swims a couple of days a week, and has begun to work out with weights. It's hard for us to remember that Eric is severely limited physically because his life is full, challenging, and expanding every day. One of Eric's greatest experiences since teaming with Fernando has been his involvement in power soccer. It's a new sport played by people in power wheelchairs. They meet in gymnasiums where they compete as teams and score goals using a large ball. Eric loves it and usually prefers to play goalie. Not long ago, Fernando took Eric to Vancouver, Canada, to compete in a power soccer tournament. It was quite an experience for Eric. They flew together, rented a car, got their hotel room, and got around town, just the two of them. Eric loved it, especially competing in the 5-day tournament, where he scored 2 goals. And best of all, his team won the gold medal. We had never seen Eric so excited as he was when he returned from the tournament. He wore his gold medal home on the plane, and I don't think he touched the ground for days. Since then, his confidence has been so strong that he's willing to tackle just about any kind of challenge. And for that, Fernando deserves most of the credit. Without his belief in Eric and his desire to expand his world, none of this would have ever happened.
To become a person of influence and to make a positive impact on people, you have to come alongside them and really get involved in their lives. That's what Fernando did and continues to do with Jim's son, Eric. And that's what you need to do with people of whom you want to make a difference. Modeling a life of integrity is an important first step in becoming an influencer because it creates a strong foundation with others. And the next natural step is motivating people. As you nurture people, show your faith in them, listen to their hopes and fears, and demonstrate your understanding of them, you build a strong relational connection and give them an incentive to succeed and to be influenced by you. But if you want people to be able to really grow, improve, and succeed, you have to take the next step with them. You have to mentor and enlarge them.
Enlarging others is an investment. Author Alan Loy McGinnis said, "There is no more noble occupation in the world than to assist another human being, to help someone succeed. Helping others enlarge themselves is one of the most incredible things you can ever do for another person." As John says in his book, The Success Journey, growing to reach your potential is one of the three components to being successful, along with knowing your purpose and sowing seeds that benefit others. When you enlarge others, you do a number of things. You raise their level of living, you increase their potential for success, and you increase their capacity for growth. And in the process, you also increase the potential of your organization.
Make yourself an enlarger. For many people, just because they want to enlarge others doesn't necessarily mean they are ready for the task. They usually need to do some work on themselves first. As in most instances in life, if you want to do more for others, you have to become more yourself. That's never more valid than in the area of mentoring. You can teach what you know, but you can reproduce only what you are. Just as no one will follow a person whose leadership skills are weaker than their own, no person will learn to grow from someone who isn't growing himself. Not only must you be on a higher level in your personal growth, you must be continuing to grow on an ongoing basis. You can probably remember how little you respected one of your high school teachers or college professors who had obviously stopped learning and growing decades earlier, possibly the day he received his degree. Albert Schweitzer said, "The great secret of success is to go through life as a man who never gets used up." When you make it a goal to continually learn and enlarge yourself, you become the kind of person who can never be used up. You're always recharging your batteries and finding better ways to get things done. To determine whether you are still growing, ask yourself what you're still looking forward to. If you can't think of anything or you're looking back instead of ahead, your growth may be at a standstill. Make it a priority to take them through the enlarging process. Enlarging others can be rewarding and fun, but it also takes time, money, and a lot of work. That's why you've got to commit yourself to the process and make it one of your top priorities. My friend Ed Cole says, "There is a price to pay to grow. Commitment is the price." Once you've made the commitment, you're ready to go. To maximize the enlarging process, follow these 9 guidelines.
Number 1, see their potential. Unrealized potential is a great waste, and as an enlarger, one of your greatest privileges is to help others discover and then develop their potential. But that can't be done until you see their potential yourself. Olympic gold medal swimmer Jeffrey Gabarino says, "The real contest is always between what you've done and what you're capable of doing." Whenever you look at a person that you desire to enlarge, try to discern what he's capable of doing. Look for that spark of greatness. Try to visualize what that person would be doing if he were to overcome personal obstacles, gain confidence, grow in areas of promise, and give everything he had. That will help you to see his potential.
Number 2. Cast a vision for their future. Robert Orban said, "Always remember there are only 2 kinds of people in this world, the realist and the dreamers. The realists know where they are going. The dreamers have already been there." One of the greatest ways to add value to the people you enlarge is to travel ahead of them in your mind's eye and see their future before they do. When you do that, you become able to cast a vision for their future that helps to motivate and enlarge them.
Number 3, tap into their passion. As an enlarger of people, one of your goals is to help people want to grow, and one of the greatest ways to do that is to tap into their passion. Everybody has passion for something, even the quietest, least demonstrative person. The key is to find it. As scientist Willis R. Whitney said, "Some men have thousands of reasons why they cannot do what they want to do, when all they need is one reason why they can." As you look for other people's passions, go beyond the surface of their daily wants. Look deep within them. Harold Kushner said, "Our souls are not hungry for fame, comfort, wealth, or power. Those rewards create almost as many problems as they solve. Our souls are hungry for meaning, for the sense that we have figured out how to live so that our lives matter, so that the world will at least be a little bit different for our having passed through it. Once you discover their passion, tap into it. Show them how it can activate their potential to the point that they will be able to realize the vision they have for their lives. Passion can help them make their dreams come true.
Number 4, address any character flaws. As you begin to look at how you can help others enlarge themselves, you need to address any character issues that people might have. As we mentioned in Chapter 1, integrity is the foundation upon which everything else must stand in a person's life. No matter how much enlarging you do, if the foundation isn't solid, there's going to be trouble. Martin Luther King, Jr. said, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Your goal should be to help the people you're developing be able to stand strong in the midst of challenges."
Number 5, focus on their strengths first. When developing people, focus on sharpening skills that already exist. Complement positive qualities. Bring out the gifts inherent in them. Weaknesses can wait unless they are character flaws. Only after you have developed a strong rapport with a person and he has begun to grow and gain confidence should you address areas of weakness, and then they should be handled gently and one at a time.
Number 6. Enlarge them one step at a time. Ronald Osborne said, "Unless you try to do something beyond what you have already mastered, you will never grow." The key to enlarging others is to help them take growth steps that stretch them regularly without overwhelming or discouraging them. For each person, that process will look different. But no matter where a person is starting from or where he's going, he needs to grow in certain areas. We suggest that you start by focusing on 3 areas: attitude, relationships, and leadership. As you help people grow, work from the inside out. It's not what happens to you in life that makes a difference. It's what happens in you.
Number 7, put resources in their hands. This is one of the greatest ways to help people grow. Whenever either John or I meets with someone we're developing, we always try to bring something with us to help enlarge them. Books, tapes, magazine articles, anything we can get our hands on. If you keep putting good resources into people's hands, they will not only love the time they spend with you, but each time you meet, you'll see that they've grown just a little more toward their potential.
Number 8, expose them to enlarging experiences. Putting people on some kind of a plan for growth is a great way to enlarge them. But sometimes they need something more, something that will give them a fresh burst of energy and inspiration. Author and champion for the blind, Helen Keller, said, "One can never consent to creep when one feels an impulse to soar. When you expose people to enlarging experiences, you plant within them that desire to soar, to achieve greatness." Some of the things that are especially good for enlarging people are conferences and seminars, meetings with great men and women, and special events. Those kinds of experiences have made a tremendous impact on us. They always take us from our comfort zone, move us to think beyond ourselves, or challenge us to go to new levels of living.
Number 9, teach them to be self-enlargers. According to Philip B. Crosby, there is a theory of human behavior that says people subconsciously retard their own intellectual growth. They come to rely on cliches and habits. Once they reach the age of their own personal comfort with the world, they stop learning and their mind runs on idle for the rest of their days. They may progress organizationally, they may be ambitious and eager, they may even work night and day, but they learn no more. Once you've gotten people to value growth enough to start enlarging themselves, you've broken through a strong barrier. But the next step is to get them to keep growing on their own. As you work with others and help them to enlarge themselves, give them what they need so that they learn to take care of themselves. Teach them to find resources, encourage them to get out of their comfort zone, and point them toward additional people who can help them learn and grow. If you can help them to become lifelong learners, you will have given them an incredible gift.
It's been said, No one becomes rich unless he enriches another. When you enrich others by helping them grow and enlarge themselves, you not only bring joy to them and yourself, but you also increase your influence and their ability to touch others' lives. At the beginning of this chapter, Jim told you about how Fernando has enriched the life of his and Nancy's son Eric. But there's even more to the story than that.
Now, since Eric played in that power soccer tournament, he's really changed. He's become more assertive, and he's pursuing his goals with more enthusiasm. For example, Eric has now decided that he wants to try to play tennis, so Fernando started working with him to get him ready. As I mentioned earlier, Eric's begun weight training, but he's also taken another step to help make tennis possible, a step that at first scared Nancy and me. Since his stroke, Eric's right hand is extremely limited in what it can do, so he really only has full use of his left hand. But to play tennis, he would have to use his good left hand to hold the racket. What was Fernando's solution? He waited until Nancy and I were out of town and switched Eric's wheelchair controls over to his bad hand. We didn't think it was possible, but it was. Eric now drives right-handed, and as soon as he's ready, he's going to take up tennis. Fernando's mentoring and coaching of Eric have been fantastic. It's even enlarged us. We always wanted the best for Eric, but we discovered that we were overly protective. The whole process has broadened our horizons. And of course, it's incredible to see Eric grow and change as he has. But he, Nancy, and I are not alone in that. Even the enlarger has become enlarged. Fernando is also changing and growing too. He's always been the consummate professional, but we're now seeing a softer, more loving side that was previously hidden. And recently, he told Nancy, "I'm learning that I have to really give to have joy in my life."
What 19th century American philosopher-poet Ralph Waldo Emerson said is true. It is one of the most beautiful compensations of this life that no man can sincerely try to help another without helping himself. If you give yourself to enlarging others and assisting them in reaching their potential, the rewards you reap will be almost as great as the ones of the people that you help.